He's Ozek and Mitzvah, Patrim and Mitzvah. He told me he said it. Shibbuk also here soon, so I have to introduce Rabbi Abam, because I think everyone knows him.
I don't.
He's, except for my father, but I introduced you already.
That's true.
Now everyone knows the assistant rabbi, and it's a schuss to have him here for Chabura. Always welcome back as a guest to observe or to give Chabura. Chesky's been taking more breaks this year as he ages, so we're looking forward, and you know the timing, so you're good to go.
Amazing. I'm so thrilled to be here, and I'm so excited.
Hey, you say, Mike?
Yes, I would like to say. Thank you for still in the opening line. I'd like to thank the Mandelstams for hosting. I think sometimes when someone does something so many times, we kind of lose sight of what appreciation is owed. Don't listen for a second. That we kind of take it for granted. But I think the more someone does something, the more appreciation we should give. But to Lauren and Michael, I almost said Lauren Michaels, but to both of you, thank you so much for opening up your home all the time for such delicious Torah learning and also some wonderful food. Now, I think Parshas Mishpatim is the point for all of us where the Torah kind of takes a shift. It's that point where we go from, this is the year I do Shnayim Mikra all the way, to maybe next year. Maybe I'll give it another shot next time. And if we look closely, we see that really Rashi on these parshias going forward, especially on Mishpatim, is really a nice, concise summary of Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Maseches Sanhedrin. And if we think that we have a problem learning some of these Rashis, don't feel so bad, because Rashi himself had some problem learning some of his own Rashis. Some of his commentary, where he quotes from Chazal, Rashi comments that, you know, I'm not really sure how this fits into the Pasuk so well, but this is what Chazal say on this Pasuk. And one example, what Rashi has confusion is, in source number one, the Pasuk is, we know that describing for Dayanim, there is a process of following the majority, but in Perichov Gimel, Pasuk Beis, says, Lo siya achari rabim l'roz, we'll translate it as, do not follow the majority for evil, but lo sana al riv lintos achari rabim lahatos, and do not speak up to fight, to turn after the rabbim, to turn. And Rashi on this pasuk has a long, long, long comment based on Chazal where he introduces it by saying, I'm not really sure how this fits into the pasuk at all. Something about needing a majority to execute someone and not a one-person majority. You can't kill if you have 13, sorry, if you have 12 to 11, you can't kill. You have to have 13 to 10. Lo siya achar rabbim l'roz, you can't follow a simple majority to kill. You have to have a bigger majority to kill. Losana al Riv, Rashi says, Losana al Rav, that you're not allowed to argue with the greatest person. So we start the judging from the weakest member of Sanhedrin, so no one has to disagree with the greatest judge there. Rashi is not really clear. The Chazal are not really clear. I want to share with you tonight the Or Chaim HaKadosh's brilliant explanation of these psukim, which really is a comment on a very interesting moral dilemma that we can extend beyond the realm of Dayanim, which may not be so practical for us, but really to explore a very interesting, practical, halachic, and moral, ethical dilemma. If you look in source number two, there is a quasi-famous and strange quirk in Hilchos Dayanus that goes like this. This is the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Yud Zayin. Amar Rav Kahana, in source number two, Sanhedrin Shiro Kulam Lechova, you have a capital case, and all 23 judges vote guilty, Potronosa. Simply translated as, the guy is exempted, he's off the hook. What? They unanimously vote to kill the guy. He's off the hook. 22 to 1, kill him. 23 to 0, he's off the hook. My timer. Now, if I were you, I was expecting some kind of xeris akasav. It seems so counterintuitive. It's based on a pasuk, I would have thought. But he gives a svar. If Gahana says, Kevin de gemiri halonas din, there is an obligation when you kill someone that after judging to kill, you have to leave it overnight and think about it and debate it overnight to find some kind of zechus to save the person. There's always a skew toward finding the person innocent. But these people, they all voted guilty. There's no one to possibly advocate overnight, so they can't do that process. So he's innocent. There's no one to argue the other side at this point in the process, so he's off the hook. What do we think about this? Does this make sense? What would be the rationale when you have unanimous judgment? The Gemara gave a svara, but does that make sense?
No.
Not so much. Maybe sometimes something is so clear-cut and so obvious, there's no other side because there's no other side. And yet, because there's no other side over here, and there's no way for us to view the person as innocent, so the person's off the hook. This is the way that the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, everyone understands the Gemara. I gave it to you, we'll go through it very quickly, it's not really the focus for tonight, but the Torah to me on this week's parsha, it's kedai to see inside. In source number three, he's bothered by that no one really argues on this basic understanding of this Gemara. Everyone interprets it to mean if everyone votes guilty, the guy's off the hook. And he doesn't really understand why. And he quotes a dissenting opinion. The Ramah, Pirish, the complete opposite of what this Rav Kahana is trying to say. We're not going to really focus on this, but we'll just see it in a second. It's very interesting. His Pirish Dino Sharav Kahana, but move on Hahefich, Mikatsa Lakatsa Minaha, Pirish HaMakuba. He goes against what everyone else says it means. You know what it means, he says? Vuhu. Ki Sanhedrin Sharo Kulam Lachova, Potronosa. Potron, he says, does not mean the guy is off the hook and excused and gets to go home scot free. Ritzon Alomar, Potronoso Miyadamisa. We kill him, we throw him out and hang him and kill him on the spot without the usual back and forth process of debating. If it's 22-1, we have a whole overnight process of debating. But if it's 23-0, poaching himself, he goes straight to the gallows. We kill him without any further debate. The ein ma'anin as dino avamachar. We don't follow the usual procedure of waiting until tomorrow to kill. And he quotes from the Gemara in Shavuos that also uses the phrase poaching himself to mean straight up, without any excuses, without any delay, it means to kill right away. Look back at the Gemara, we'll read it inside. How does it fit into the Gemara? Am Rav Kahana, source number 2. Sanhedrin Shiro Kul Nechov, if everyone votes guilty, Pochin Oso, we go straight to killing him. My time, why do they go straight to killing him and don't wait till overnight and kill him tomorrow? Kevin de Gamiri Halana Stin Mevile Zechusa, the only reason to wait till overnight to kill the person tomorrow is to find an excuse. Vahani Sulo Chazile, but there's no purpose to delay the din, which is normally a problem, delaying a din. Why should we bother delaying a din to find a zechus for a person when every single person feels exactly the same way? Therefore, we should kill him instantly. To be honest, it fits the Gemara very nicely. Right? It's not a stretch. It really fits the Gemara. The problem is, who's he quoting from? Who's the Ramah? Known as the Yad Ramah. You look in the Yad Ramah, he doesn't say this. The Yad Ramah and the Gemara explains the Gemara, just like Rashi, just like the Rambam, just like everybody else. He's quoting, if you look at the end, the Torah Tumim is quoting from the Sefer Kehilas Yaakov, from Ahari Al-Ghazi, in the 1700s. Ahari Al-Ghazi is quoting from the Yad Ramah. Ahari Al-Ghazi also quotes the Me'iri, says the same thing as this alternate pshat. You look in the Me'iri, he doesn't say it either. The Torah Tumim was always taken to task for not looking at primary sources. He writes in his introduction, it took him 15 years to write the Torah Tumima, and he kind of wrote it by heart, which means a lot of times the primary sources get overlooked, and he's relying on secondary or tertiary sources. And this is an example where he's quoting from the Ramah of wild idea against the conventional wisdom, and it's not true. It's not what they say. There is no Posek, there is no Rishon, there is no Acharon, except for the Torah Tumima and this Sefer Kehilas Yaakov B'Shem Sam Rishonim, who say that the Gemara is interpreted the other way. But it's compelling, no? Fits the Gemara perfectly and makes sense to us. We're going to work with the rest of the Shia with the assumption, not like the Torah Tumima, it's good to know about, but as the Paskin, the Rambam, and others, that if you have 23-0, the person is off the hook. Now imagine the scenario. You are judge number 23. And they're going down the line. Guilty. Guilty. You can take the OJ trial. Guilty. 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 Sorry, innocent. Innocent. Guilty. 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 And you're the last judge. Now you can understand that this person believes the person is guilty, and they say guilty, and the guy's off the hook. You might be tempted to just say, not guilty, so we kill him. Or the opposite case. If you really dissent, you really disagree, you might be tempted to say guilty, so it's 23-0, and he's off the hook. Are you allowed to lie? To give the opposite vote from what you really think, in order to bring about the result that you think is emes.
Well, don't we say the strongest person goes last, so wouldn't he be able to, I guess, make that decision based on what he might think?
Uh-huh. So, right. If he's last, he's probably the greatest person, right?
Well, it depends on what the svara is for why the guy, if you read the Gemara of Pshuta Shel Mikra,
yeah.
If it's 23-0,
yeah.
What's the svara behind it? If the svara is if some crazy svara, then you'd have to vote guilty, and you'd be off the hook. I mean, it really depends on what the reason is.
If the reason, as the Gemara says, is that there's no point of having a debate, there's no reason for us to.
No, that's the.
If we can't save the person, there has to always be a chance to save the person. And we can't save the person if no one's even considering innocent, so the person has to be innocent because no one's fighting for him.
What's the MS, though, in this case? Is the MS, like, you want the outcome, or is the MS
following halacha.
Like the guy kill the person.
That is the question.
Because those two things could be separate. You know, you think that Reuben should die, but are you saying that Reuben killed Shimon? Is that your result that you want to tie into the Reuben killed Shimon? In that case, you should say. You'd say that what he said. You should say that he's high. In that case, everybody should be off the hook. If he thinks that he should be you think he should be killed, then maybe that's when you should.
So you're raising a good point, right? So if he's voting on what happened, maybe it's lying and not allowed for him to say the opposite of what he thinks happened. But if he's voting on a result, maybe by saying the opposite words, bringing about the result he thinks is true, maybe that's not lying.
Yeah, but then I guess what he's voting on would be completely different than 22 people buying him.
What are they all voting on? Are they all voting on what they think, or are they voting on what they think happened?
Are they voting on what's going to happen now, or are they voting on, let's say, we have to sleep on it? So is there another vote tomorrow? So if they're all going through and he says, okay, let me say not guilty, let me say guilty, so it would cause us to think overnight to then make a decision again tomorrow, is that what it is? That you have to have a night over sleep, so then we go over it again before we kill him?
Interesting. So maybe the reason he should vote not guilty is to make a 22-1, right? They all say guilty. He's voting not guilty to make a 22-1.
So at least you have
so that now they have to leave it overnight. And
then
tomorrow,
the next day we discuss it again before we kill him, or do we just kill him right away?
But again, if you follow the Ikar, then I think they should have had like a closed ballot system. Everyone just votes and they open the ballots together, then that's the end of that. But they didn't vote like that. As Rashi said, Losana al Rav, you have to vote the smartest person last. That way no one hears each other's votes and follows the greatest person. So they're obviously voting out loud. But if you vote out loud according to what you think is the MS, it wouldn't go to tomorrow's vote. So you could even argue that by delaying until tomorrow's vote, it's also shekered. You wouldn't have normally had a tomorrow's vote because you all really think guilty,
but
so he's off the hook.
But at least gives everyone the opportunity to think overnight.
Then you're allowed to change your vote from what you think is the MS.
You think you have to go with what you really would have voted if no one else said anything?
For sure.
Even if it means that the person who everyone agrees is a murderer. All of us bearded people think this person is guilty.
We're taking the halacha about 23 people agreeing, then therefore he's putter, and trying to scheme the system.
Right.
And that's not the role of the judge to scheme the halacha. It's the
Also, Gemara gives the svara. So you can't substitute your svara for the Gemara's svara.
The Gemara's svara is.
There was no svara. There was a halacha. It said, okay, 23-0, he's innocent.
It's a loophole in the system.
And whatever. But the Gemara doesn't give a reason why. So you can say, okay, listen, 23-0 is innocent, 22-1 is guilty. I could maybe, you know, get that result. But the Gemara says there's a reason.
But this is to Yoshua's point. Right? If a person wants to follow the svara of the Gemara, only if there's no one to argue the other side. But if I'm going to pretend to argue the other side, then I am playing the other side. And then maybe it no longer meets the Gemara's criteria to make him go free. As long as I could argue the other side, even if I don't believe it, but I can argue the other side, we no longer have a case of Holonestin for no reason.
If a person admits to doing something like that, and
who says he's admitting?
I'm just saying a hypothetical. The person admits to killing someone, and everyone says guilty, and he goes free, that doesn't make sense.
So there's another question over here. A murderer is going free. Every single person here who's well-trained is letting this person have what he deserves. And he goes free because of some quirk.
No, the Gol Adam goes, he's released.
Uh-huh. The Gol Adam is supposed to kill if
but Gol Adam is only if the Gol Adam...
If Basin finds him guilty.
Right.
But Gol Adam is by accident. No. Not if there's a...
If you look at the Pesuk in Parshas Maaseh, it describes like handing him over to the Gol Adam, even in a case where he kills on purpose.
Yeah.
Gol Adam is a very strange din. But can the Gol Adam kill if Basin has to pass an innocent? And they pass an innocent because they all vote guilty.
He's got to go.
Right. They voted guilty, but the halacha is pater. Is pater. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh is going to take a strong side on the issue by reading into the Pesukim that Rashi wasn't sure how it fit the words of Chazal, and he's going to give an alternate pshat that actually fits the words beautifully. This very vague pasuk we had in source number one, he's going to read these cases into this pasuk. Look at source number four, beautiful Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Losia Achari, so read the pasuk again together in source number one. Losia Achari Rabim Leros, it's going to be one clause. Do not follow the majority to do evil. And the second clause is Velosana al Riv, do not raise voice, make a challenge, lintos, to turn after, achri rabim lahatos, to follow after the majority. So here we go, source number four. Rabbi Seinu Zal Harbu Lidrosh Pepasik Zed, they have many drashos, Avil Eina Mikra, Misyashad, the Pshuto, as Rashi himself pointed out, Chazal's drashos don't fit the Pshuto Shal Mikra. Venera Lefarish Akasav Lefimasha Amra Hatara, Veshaftua Eida, Veitzilo Eida. So now he's quoting a pasik for Rav Kahana's din. The Gemara in the first daf in Sanhedrin says, Pasuk talks about Shaftua Eida v'Yitzilua Eida. Eda Shofetes, but Eda Matzeles. You have to have some judges who are trying to prosecute and some judges who are trying to save. Aval impaslu kulam l'chava pater. So notice what happened over here. Rav Kahana's din was based on Svara. Rav Kahana quoted no pasuk whatsoever. But when the Or HaChaim is quoting this, the Gemara's real source, that Gemara and Daf Bei is talking about the source for 23 judges. You have to have 10, you have to have another Eda, you have to have 20, plus you have 23. But in passing, the Or HaChaim is telling us maybe that's the source. Maybe it's Gzeiras HaKasuv. Okay, it's already different than the Gemara said. You have to have some people saying one way and some arguing devil's advocate. Where it's underlined, Ba Kasav Kam Vahasir Beiz Mikhsholin Asher Yikashal Behem Chacham Yem Tzaos Din Zeh. A wise guy may have a sneaky approach, as we were debating right now, and the Torah is telling us not to do either one of the directions. On the fourth line, Ha'acha, this is one of the directions. Biyigia Mishpat Kazeh, when you have a case like this, 22 to nothing so far, Biyira Chacham Echa Me Ashoftim Shekolcha Avera Pasul L'chova, they've already voted guilty, but this last judge really honestly disagrees. He really believes the guy is innocent. But if he votes innocent, the guy is getting killed, 22-1. We're going to have a disagreement and then we follow the majority. My words will bring about the opposite of what I want. I'm going to say I think he's innocent. That'll be the reason why he's killed. The wise guy says, "Eschakim va'omer chayev." Let me say guilty like everybody else. Shabazet tias farasim eskayames. Because by making it 23-0, shiatsa zakai mitam pasul chulam. It'll be 23-0. The quirk says he's off the hook. Great, that's what I want. Plus, he rationalizes the gam eya mekayim hamuser levatel dati lifnei das hamarubin shover mechayev v'nomer chayev imahem. Isn't there a value in following the majority? Who am I to argue on these wonderful people? I can couch it under the idea of following the majority rules, so I have an excuse to follow them. Lazeh ba kasa, the Torah comes to challenge a person like this. Vetziva al zeh b'diyuk leval asoso. Torah says, do not do this. How does the pasuk imply this? Beautiful. The Amar, where it's bolded, lo siya achrei rabim leros. Do not follow what everyone else says. To do evil, perish. Lo tischakeim liyos achrei rabim sha'omer mechayiv. You're following them and also voting guilty like everybody else, but for bad intentions. And you're following them, the opposite of what you truly in your gut believe. So the result that you really want ends up happening. Rather, vote what you would have voted if not for any of these convoluted schemes. Ki Hashem hu halukim. Leave it to Hashem. Let him be the one to carry out whatever ends up happening. Hashem says, if it's really a case where everyone says guilty and the guy is innocent, that's the halacha. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen, a murderer is going free. You say what you truly believe. That's the pshat in the first part of the pasuk, lo siya achrei rabim leros. Torah normally says follow the majority. Here, don't follow everybody else because that would be evil. Do what you really believe. And the second half of the pasuk is the opposite case. In the next paragraph, Odi yesh michshol beiz b'mishpat zeh b'ofan acher. You have the opposite permutation. He really believes, like everybody else, that the guy is guilty. Sha'amru chayev. V'roa she'im yomer chayev, like everybody else. Hinei hu yotzei zakai hafak t'varar sha'amru chayev. And the guy goes free on the quirk. Lazeh, what does he want to do? Yischakeim lomar zakai. He wants to vote innocent against what he thinks. So kidei she'yuta ha'mishpat acher rabim. Now it'll be 22-1. And then we're going to actually kill him, what he really believes. Shalom chayev yatsa chayev kvis farasom. V'yesh bezagam kefias rosh b'gemar ha-mishpat lintos achrei rabim. How did he justify it? He says, I want to keep the Torah's idea of following the majority. By going against the majority, I'm following the majority. So I want the majority's psak to come true. Majority is saying guilty. I want to follow the majority, have him say guilty. So I have to say innocent to allow it to be a 22-1 vote. That way the guy can actually be guilty. What does the Torah say? Lezeh Amar, where it's bolded, V'lo sana al riv, do not raise a dissenting voice to fight, lintos achrei rabim, to then cause it to be a rabim 22-1 situation. Perish, lo sana mana al riv, lintos achrei rabim, perish, shetia kavanascha, b'man chab, you speaking out, your intention is, kidei shetia kemishpat yachid v'rabim, to turn it into a machlokes, where we follow 22-1. There's a yagid shin yigala daito kemoshahu, and if you say what you really believe, there's not going to be a hatayah that's going to be kulam b'das achas. The Torah is telling us at the end, Lahatos, which is emphasizing this guy's rationale. I want to follow the majority. I want to turn it to be a 22-1. Let me do it. The Torah says no. Look at page number 2. The Or HaChaim again concludes, V'tam mishpat zeh letzad ki Hashem yoshe b'mesibas hadayanim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who truly sits in judgment. Who yishpot b'piyam. Hashem is the one who influences how the judgment is going to go. V'kishe yira mishpat meruma. When Hashem sees that something is unfair, the voting is rigged, sorry. When Hashem sees that something is not fair, Hashem may cause it to end up being a unanimous vote. Vein bo metzias lezakos, if there's no obvious way to make the person innocent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a situation where everyone votes guilty, so the person's off the hook. So which side is he taking? Is he equivocal? No, not equivocal. He's very clear. In both directions, in fact, he thinks this is pshat in the pasuk. Yeah. Let's be honest, it's a good pshat in the pasuk, no? It reads perfectly into the pasuk. Rashi wasn't sure. Chazal have a funny reading in the pasuk. Pasuk is saying, we follow the majority. Don't follow the majority for evil in either direction. Don't follow the majority of making it unanimous so the person goes free. And don't vote against the majority to make their vote actually count, which follows the majority. Don't do that either. Vote what you think. Leave it to Hashem to make the truth come true. Thoughts? Reactions?
We've all never heard this
before. You've all never heard it? So must be you heard it. Yeah.
In actuality, this is really theoretical in theory. Right?
Why?
Because we have more that says any basin that's killed the person.
Ah.
Or there's no basin that actually was killed someone.
At some point, they used to kill.
So this could be one to once every 70 years.
When it happened every 7 or every 70 years.
Right.
This could be it.
Well, this is why.
There's that's actually true. The Yitzilah Eidah, Chazal Darshan, Pasuk and Parshas Maaseh, there's always a skew towards saving people.
But theoretically, if you had a majority that said kill, not a majority that said don't kill, you'd kill.
Yeah.
Is it only in capital cases that way?
Yeah. That's the Gemara's example, because you have to do Halana Sadin to save the person. In a monetary case, there's no Halana Sadin. So if it's 23-0, you actually would...
It's based off the Xeris HaKasav, but not off the Gemara's Svara.
If it's the Xeris HaKasav, the Yitzilah Eidah is also a case of Nefashos. So even the Xeris HaKasav might be based on Nefashos only.
I mean, it makes sense. It's a very slippery slope when you're putting your Svara in front of the Torah.
If you're a Dayan trying to game the system...
You could say this about any Halacha. The Svara doesn't fit, and then who are we to say what the Svara really was behind the Halacha?
So what's the counterpoint to that? Meaning, that's a good point, right? It's a good point, right? What right does a judge have to put their own...
Movement, not whatever.
Saying, very slippery slope.
It's a very slippery slope. All of a sudden, there's no Shabbos.
Okay. I don't know if I would make a because direct line between this.
It doesn't make sense. Oh, it's not really electricity. They didn't drive in the Mishkan. They had electric cars in the Mishkan, right? Like, come on.
What's the counterpoint to that? So it's a good point, right?
The role,
the role of a judge is to use his own judgment.
This is what we were saying before. What's the role of the judge?
Is right?
Yeah.
A judge's role is twofold. Yeah. First of all, to say what he thinks is fair to come out. Additionally, the judge's job to keep society in check. If murderers can get off like this by killing in a very obvious way that there's no dissenting opinion, what would that do to society? And what would that do to a judge's role? I mean, can we say a judge is different than Shabbos?
Yeah, but the Torah obviously allowed for this.
The Torah gave this possibility.
No, that gave the Svara. The Gemara gave the Svara.
Who are you to say, who is the judge to say, I'm going to ask Martha Torah? I mean, there's
obviously a reason. If you look at this whole paragraph, I didn't give you all the sources, the source number one.
It seems like it makes you want to think very carefully when you have to make a very serious, major decision. And sometimes if something seems so obvious, where everyone is totally agreeing, that may be an indication that there's a blind spot, whereas if it's 15-6 or 15-7, everything's getting represented. But it's to such an extreme, it's like a wake-up call. Come on, guys, something more may be going on here.
And I think that's a good point. What would social psychologists call this, groupthink? Right? Sometimes it's a concern of groupthink, right? Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Schnell from... I guess West Hempstead at some point. But he has a beautiful article that he wrote about the ways in which the structure of the Sanhedrin was the precursor to a lot of the modern ways to challenge groupthink. Groupthink is when everyone just follows the majority opinion. By having the wisest person go last, that's already one idea. They used to have someone come in and just play devil's advocate. The Torah to me, when he tries to argue against this din in source number 3, he says, who says they had no dissenting opinion? They would hire people to play devil's advocate. So if they vote 23-0, people say he has to be off the hook because there's no room for debate. Who says? They could all vote guilty at the end of the day after having a rigorous debate, analyzing all sides. They would even hire people to come in and argue the other side. Who says that they're not being intellectually honest just because they all conclude the same thing?
I don't think you want judges gaming the system, because then everybody can game the system and then you're going to have a bad outcome that way too.
Good, right? So that's probably the clearest way to say it. It's a slippery slope. That if it's up to you to decide what's obvious, up to you to decide, once you get your own DOS in there about the big picture as opposed to what you're being asked to vote on, then we get slippery. I gave you some other examples, but the Or HaChaim himself says this elsewhere. In Pasuk Zion, the whole parak really is about not favoring a poor person in judgment or a ger. And Rashi quotes, you might think, well, isn't the rich guy obligated in tzedakah anyway? Don't play these games, Torah is saying. Don't game the system. Just vote what you think. Don't take into account society. Don't take into account a ger feels left out or take into account that a poor person needs tzedakah anyway. Don't game the system. Just vote what you think. The Pasuk Zion actually says, Midvar Sheker Tirchak, Benaki Vitzadik Al Tarog, Kilo Atzdik Rasha. The Or HaChaim explains on page number 2, he says that Hashem promises, I'm not going to let it go totally to Gehenna. I'll allow the person to go off now, but I'll catch him later. Don't worry about it. And the Or HaChaim in Parsha Shoftim says something similar. Pasuk describes in source number 5, Al Pishnayim Edim Yumas Hameis, kill the dead person. The Or HaChaim says, what do you mean, kill the dead person? It's like, what do they say? The kids ask you, what goes in the toaster? Toast? Oh, you put bread in the toaster. Toast comes out. One of those kind of things. You don't kill a dead person. You kill him and he becomes dead. So the Or HaChaim says, the person's guilty in Shemayim, he's already dead. If you have Edom and Asra, you kill the dead person. And if you don't have Edom and Asra and you feel guilty about it, don't worry about it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. He's dead either way. So who argues in the Or HaChaim HaKadosh? If you look in source 6 and 7, the Gemara says that explicitly. Abishtayim Edom Yumas Hameis. Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Even if we can't get him with Edom and Asra, don't worry about it. Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Now, who argues in the Or HaChaim HaKadosh? Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz in source number 8 argues in the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. All right, we're going to see now the other point of view. Speaking of dissent and having not groupthink, let's see the other side. The Aros Devash is commenting on another Gemara on the same daf of all things, in Daf Yud Zayin, where the Gemara gives a very interesting requirement for a judge. Source number 8: Ein Memanim B'Sanhedrin. Rak mishiyodeh letaher sheretz me'atorah. A person who's fit to be a judge is a person who can have halachic rationale to make a sheretz tahor. Now, a sheretz being tahor is nonsense. Because the Torah says the sheretz is tameh, that's the quintessential source of tumah. Now, Tosfos there, the second line, asks the question, mali b'charifa shel hevel. That's a requirement? He has to do mental gymnastics and be smart enough to find halachic arguments why a sheretz is tahar? What a bunch of nonsense. He's brilliant in a bunch of nonsense. Yonatan Eibshitz explains, B'yamei chorfi ha'yisi omer. This is how he explained why a judge has to be able to think with tremendous mental gymnastics. D'yadua ha'mitzvah levayar rishoyim v'lasos mishpat kasa ba'osira. Hashem wants us to eradicate evil people from the world. V'yim kein, ha'osir etzicha v'chadom b'fnei beizdin, ad she'ein piskom pelet tzadeid b'zichuso, a person who kills in broad daylight in a way so obvious that everyone votes guilty, v'yim kein, yeh zakai. Ki beizdin sha'am rukhulam l'chov ha'zakai, because there's a quirk. If they all vote guilty, he's off the hook. V'yim kein, yatza naki b'rishaso. That's the greatest chotei neschar in the world. He kills so egregiously and so defiantly that he's off the hook. The Af Heimarbim Shvichos Dabim B'Yisrael. What a terrible disaster. We're going to have murderers who kill openly. The ones who kill in secret get executed because it's 15 to, what's the math, 8? But those who kill openly are going to be rewarded because everyone votes guilty. Ach Be'emes Kishiyikra Davar Navel Kazeh. When a person kills so openly and egregiously and no one can think of as far, everyone wants to vote guilty. Afim Echad Me Sanhedrin Mischavin Lomar Zakai Kidei Shelo Yiyu Kulam Omer Mechayev Hareyu Chayev. He says, you might be tempted to vote against the crowd, vote innocent, just so it's 22-1. Ach vade lo yitachin lomar beizdin zakayim o chaya b'li nesinas tamad varav. The Or HaChaim is right, he says, you can't just lie and just straight up say the opposite of what you think. But what if you're the kind of person who could think of a svara for anything? You could think of a reason why a sheretz is tahor min haTorah. Yim kein zesh apal ra eich afshir lomar zakayim. Avil imheim yodim b'koach haTorah. They have halachic arguments. Lomer al tamei tahor ulaharos parman. They can explain it with good halachic reasoning. Harayachal lomer al chayev zakai. He can vote the opposite of what he thinks with a rationale for that. Ulaharos parman haTorah and give Torah rationale. The glal kein yatsa mishpat tzedek and it'll bring out what he actually believes to be true justice. Vasi shapir. Hear this? Judges have to have the mental capacity to think so flexibly that we want them to circumvent the din of 23 to 0. We want them to have the capacity to argue anything from a halakhic perspective so that they could be the person who gets up and says, I dissent, just so that we can kill the person like everyone else says. Whoa. How far do you take this? Here's the slippery slope we were talking about before. So then what? Where does this end?
It's hard to believe the Torah really would want that, because if it really would want that, it would get rid of the entire institution of 23 to 0, yet Zaka.
So he's arguing on the Gemara. You really can't argue on the Gemara.
The Gemara says if they all do indeed vote guilty, we have to...
But the Gemara didn't give the Svara.
The Svara is not something that everyone finds compelling. I don't know.
In the same sugya, doesn't this person also say Midivar Sheker Jirah? So it's like you're lying in order to get that outcome. So that doesn't, it's telling you also not to do that.
This raises the question we asked before. Sheker is what? Is the greater sheker to say what you don't believe, or is the greater sheker to allow a murderer to go free? I don't have any answers. I'm just raising the questions. This is a big deal.
Maybe he'll suffer more.
Maybe the person who killed will want them suffering more. So he said before, right? I would have had a closed voting system, but apparently they all voted out loud. They all voted out loud. I wouldn't have had that system, right? That way, if everyone voted quietly, and this didn't could happen by itself, unless a person felt, oh my gosh, they're all going to vote. How funny would it be if each person had the same thought to themselves? Oh, we have to vote the opposite, and they all vote innocent, and then he's actually innocent. But the Yaros Tavash is arguing. Now, in a way, he's not really arguing, but he definitely is arguing. In a way, he's not saying you can just lie straight up. He made a whole point to say you have to give halachic reasoning. You have to support it. If you argued on the Orach Chaim and just simply said, listen, truth is truth, justice is justice, and just say the opposite of what you think. No one's saying that. Even the Yaros Tavash, who is arguing that you need to have a good rationale.
Why
do you need
to have a good rationale? Because you think that gets you out of Midbar Sheker Tirchah? But at the end of the day, you don't really believe what you're saying. So who cares if you can create some halakhic loophole? If it's not true, it's not true.
So it's a funny middle, right? Either you think that the answer is to find the means, and therefore you don't need the reasoning, or you think that it's wrong to say what you don't believe, and then having this fake argument doesn't matter. He seems to think that, yeah?
He's quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that a Dayan has to have this ability to see both sides clearly. So maybe it's not Sheker to see the other side.
Back to the Svara of the Gemara. If the Svara is no one's really fighting for the other side, if this guy's really going to give a halakhic reason to argue the other side, that may be the greatest fulfillment of actually debating it out. Meaning, the Yaros Tavash may have satisfied everything.
Because he tells the other 22 judges
a halakhic, strong...
This is why I'm voting guilty.
And he has to explain it. Meaning, to your point, like, why he has to justify it is, if the whole problem with 23 to 0, why he has to go off the hook is because no one's really fighting for the other side, if this person doesn't just say, not guilty, okay, we kill him now, but he truly delves in and gives Rambams and gives Chalos and Chuvos and he gives Psukim, he gives real sources to argue innocent, that may not be the Sheker that we're worried about, because if anything, he is truly arguing the other side convincingly. He is giving Psukim and Rios that actually support the other side. Maybe that is a fulfillment of actually debating it to the point where if we do kill him, we feel good about it now.
It's a little bizarre, though, because if one other judge was going along with and said not guilty, so in a 21-1, and you're the last judge, you have no ability to outvote 21. You have an ability to outvote 22 people.
But he's the strongest of all of them. He's the last one.
But after he votes, it's game over, and the votes are all in, and the person's going to be guilty. The whole thing is a quirk only if you're the only one left. And like I said before, he's probably the greatest one, because Losan al-Rav, they would vote from the outer layers first.
They're going to revisit it the next morning. They're not going to do it right away.
Okay.
Since they're not going to revisit, he can still have his input.
And that's the point. If he's going to argue not just Mishmitin Sheker, but a real halachic argument the other side for devil's advocate purposes, now you have Ada and Ada. Now we can think about it overnight, we can debate about it, and now we can have a good vote tomorrow morning.
But
maybe
this
solves everything.
Does the same rationale apply every day? Or once you slept on it once, you're done?
They're not voting again.
And then the next
day...
There
are people that...
The next day they ask him, do you still stay with
him? No, 23-0 vote, the next day, right. Still be innocent.
I don't think anything.
I don't think they go around a second time.
They don't go around.
23 the second time around.
Right. If it was, I don't know, 20-3, and the next day they all say guilty, they would still kill him. It's only that first round where there was no Halanas Adin and there was no real debate yet.
The next day is only to say not guilty.
Right, the next day is to see if anyone else joined the not guilty party. But if more people said guilty the next day, then we could still kill him. So the Aras Savash is nice mental gymnastics, yeah.
I don't know how somebody could say someone is guilty and needs to be put to death and then sleep on it, and then the next day they say, I was wrong.
I had a bad day yesterday. I just decided to kill that person.
How does that, I mean, if these people are the best people who are looking for every reason not to say guilty, and then the next day they say, yeah, I found it.
You really want to push her to be innocent as much as you can.
You would think that they were doing
all in regular. Up
until they didn't have DNA.
Or you just
they didn't have security cameras. Right? That Gemara that David mentioned before, Makos Dav Zayin, where it talks about why we don't kill someone more than 77 or 70 years, Gemara says in order to, let's say, kill for Arayos, they have to have seen, Morgan is a crude analogy of a makeup stick in a container, but you have to actually see the actual Maisa, which is very hard to see. So it's very, very technical, meaning a person could say guilty because of what they saw yesterday, but then I don't know if I trust that aid. Again, a lot of the times we're killing based on aidus. So a lot of testimony is not DNA and it's not video evidence. It's a lot of about the veracity of the witness testimony. Do I think he's telling the truth? Do I think he had a nervous tic and he looked to the left and whatever psychologists, mind readers do to pretend like we can read minds? But what does that mean, right? Do I really trust the Adam's testimony? Are the Adam saying the same thing as each other? Maybe there's some technicality. Are they in the same location? Can they see each other? Maybe there's some technicality. I want to give you one more example of where this comes up, about judges trying to say the opposite of what they believe, and just in order to get the result that they want. The other example comes in Choshen Mishpat, in source number 9. There is another quirk in Hilchos Dayanus. When a person votes, I don't know, there should be only two options. You either vote guilty, or you vote not guilty.
Present.
Abstain, present. So look at the case in Shulchan Aruch. This is in Hilchos Choshen Mishpat, in source number 9. Shnayim Omer M'chaya V'Echad Omer Zaka. This is a case of 3, as opposed to 23, but similar principles are at work over here. If it's a vote 2-1, in either direction, let me follow the 2 over the 1. What about the end of the line? Echad Omer Zaka, V'Echad Omer Chaya, V'Echad Omer Eni Yodea. V'afidu Shnayim Omer M'zaka Yochaya, V'Echad Omer Eni Yodea. Yosifu Shnei Dayanim V'Nemtza Shehem Chamisha. Now, if you have one of the 3 judges saying innocent, one saying guilty, one saying I don't know, we obviously have to add more judges. There's no majority yet. But even if you have 2 judges saying either guilty or innocent, there's no directional difference over here, you have 2 judges saying the same thing, and the last guy says Eni Odea, we have to add more judges. You might say, why? Whatever he votes, he's outvoted, or we follow this majority anyway. So the reason is, if he does say, I don't know, we only really have 2 judges. And there's a quirk, you have to have 3 judges. So if you have 3 people, and one says, I don't know, it's like he doesn't exist, he's not present, and therefore you don't really have 3. So if he says, I don't know, we add 2 more judges, and then we make a majority out of those 5.
Why 2?
If we add one more, then we have an even number, and it could end up being 2 and 2.
You're keeping him.
So he stays, and then we have 2 more come. So the question is like this. What if the 2 say guilty, and you believe innocent? Now here, if you say innocent, the guy's going to be killed. Or if you say guilty, the guy's going to be killed. But you really think innocent. Can you say, I don't know, just so we have 2 more guys join, and maybe you plus the 2 extra guys can outvote the first 2? You know what you think. You argue with the first 2 people. They say guilty, you think innocent. They say innocent, you think guilty. But if you vote what you think against the majority, you're going to be outvoted. Can you lie and say, I don't know? Because the procedure then makes 2 more judges come, and now there's a chance that you can team up with those 2, maybe, and outvote the first 2 guys you wanted to argue with.
Once you say you don't know, how can you vote again?
So we're saying, apparently, if he says he doesn't know, he wants to think about it a little longer. And then the next day, when they add 2 more, he has a right to vote again. And he can change from I don't know to whatever he really thinks.
The halacha makes it seem like he could do that. If the halacha is, he gets to vote in round 2, right?
But he's creating a system that wouldn't have been if he tells the truth. If he says what he really believes, there is no round 2.
He's getting 2 guys to vote with him also.
But if he would have said what he truly believes... If we have 12 to 11, we don't just say he's innocent, we add 2 more?
No, if you say 12 to 11, Mechayev.
Then he's off the hook.
No, then you...
We add 2 more?
Yeah,
we add 2 more, okay.
I think you add 2 more, because it's 2.
Until you get there.
Ah, you're right. You're right. Yes. So they're also. If it's 12 to 10,
right? So
another example.
Right. Right, so you could add in two more.
You're
so
right.
You do a new round of voting.
Yeah.
So guys can switch their votes. And
right. So saying I don't know, you can change your vote. But here's the guy who's saying I don't know. You're saying he gets a vote in round two. But if he really said what he believed, he followed the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, who says you have to say what you believe, leave it to Hashem to work out the details. If you know, you have to say you know. And once you say you know, the case is over. It's 2-1, you're outvoted, and whatever they voted wins. You're lying and saying, I don't know, when really you do know, to prolong the case for a chance to get what you want.
You're never sure.
No one's ever sure. Is anybody ever really sure anyway?
Sure.
The Pesachei Tshuva in source number 10 quotes a machlokas of the great Achronim from the Beis Yaakov versus the Shvus Yaakov, talking late 1600s, early 1700s, where the Beis Yaakov says that it's forbidden. In Rashaya Machayev Lasos Tachbula Lomar Eni Odea Kedesh Yosifu Aleim Dayanim V'Herich Bezeu Masik to Aser Lasos Kin. If you know, you have to say, and if you lose, and that's it. His reason is because when a judge says, I don't know, it's Motzi Laz on the whole system, and everyone looks bad, and you're imputing the reputation to the first two guys, that's his rationale. On the last page, the Shvus Yaakov quotes Beis Yaakov, but the Shvus Yaakov disagrees. His case is a little bit different. His case is where the first two judges are a bunch of fools. Totally untrained, totally bribed, totally terrible people. In this case, the guy wants to say, I don't know, not because he necessarily argues with them, but just he doesn't think that they're valid judges. He thinks they're a bunch of fools and not qualified at all. So he wants to say, I don't know, so we can get two real judges up here, then we can have a real court case. And that, the Shvus Yaakov says, is okay. Where it's underlined in source number 3, in page number 3, the Heshiv, this is the Shvus Yaakov, on the third line, Vadai deshapir dami lemevet hachi, a person can lie and say, I don't know, to get more judges. Kevan de kavanazcha l'shem shemayim, since you're trying with proper intention, lahotzi hadin lamito, you're trying to make things right, al yedeshi yosifu hadayanim, to make more people join the crowd. Afogad deshakuri kamishakart, ki adata hadin, even though right now you're saying something untrue. Mikal makam, what's the rationale? Kaimalon mutil l'shanos b'pnei ha-shalom. There is a Jewish guilt-free way to lie. Did you eat the last cookie? No, I want to make shalom bias. No, I didn't eat the last cookie. You want to make shalom? You're allowed to be mishana? V'dina shalmahu. Judgment is a form of shalom because you're causing harmony in the world, things to go according to what you think is right. This is a slippery slope. Every person gets to decide what they think is right, and then they can go against what they really know. I'm not liking it.
Well,
there's
going to be no Shabbos.
They're going to vote against Shabbos. Shabbos here, Shabbos there. All right, Shabbos is over. Pesachei Tshuva at the end of that paragraph says he doesn't think that the Shvus Yaakov only says it in a case where the two judges are fake and not qualified. He thinks the Shvus Yaakov really says it in the case of the Beis Yaakov too. The person who has two qualified judges and just wants to say, I don't know, to get some friends on board so he can vote against.
So that case is fundamentally different.
Why?
Because he's saying there's not even a valid base in the beginning.
Okay, that is the argument of the Chida in the next paragraph, where the Pesachei Tshuva continues. The Chida tries to make a split. He said, in a case where you have fake judges, the Chida writes on that last paragraph in source number 10, he says, Mikamakam hadin din emes, l'fianis daiti. He agrees with the Beis Yaakov that you're not allowed to say, I don't know, if you really do know. You cannot do schemes in order to bring about what you think is right. The Chiyuva Rami Alei Legalos Daito Be'emes. Torah wants you to say what you really believe. V'im Chaverav Ya'amdu B'daitim, if they say what they think. Mach Ba'lei, what do you care what ends up happening? V'ya Hadin Kisfarasam Ki Rabim Him V'kach Yamin, it's what the Torah wants. But then he goes on to say that maybe the case of the Shvus Yaakov is different. Because the Shvus Yaakov's case on the bottom, where it's underlined, Amnam Benidon Da Shvus Yaakov Tehani Trehem Yoshve Kronos Ulamara Einea Matim Akukaloseim, where the people are a bunch of fools and they don't know anything. But Ze Yoda Harab Beis Yaakov, the Rashai Lasos Hamtsozo. Chida splits. Maybe there are certain types of cases where you can lie and say, I don't know, because they're so egregiously uneducated, these are unqualified judges, that you're allowed to subvert that terrible, perverse system. But again, who's to decide who's unqualified? Anybody could say those who argue with you are unqualified. This is a slippery slope, Shabbos. Right, this is a big deal. Where do you draw the line? I don't know. When you draw the line, we really have machlokas over here. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh and the Yonasan Eibshitz, the Beis Yaakov and the Shvus Yaakov, and the Chida is trying to find some middle path over here, but it's very hard to understand. Just conclude, as mentioned before, that the Pesukim in these contexts say, Midvar Sheker Tircha. If you look at in source number 11, The Gemara talks about Mivarshekar Tirchak applying to cases where a person's trying to get a result that they think is MS, but they're going to ask for double so they can do a person owes you $100. And you're going to ask for $200, so when they admit it's more of a miktsas, they're chayav a shvua, and maybe you can get a shvua, Gilgul shvua from something else. Midvar Shekhar Tirchak. Gemara says over and over again in source number 11, Midvar Shekhar Tirchak, which appears, by the way, in context of these same psukim. I mean, I'm supposed to finish
that. It's not my turn.
Midvar Shekhar Tirchak, the Gemara understands, is don't play this game. You're not supposed to play this system. The Rashban, the last source in source number 12, says don't play the system. Don't. You're not allowed to lie. You're not allowed to. What's it called? Pasuk in Sefania, She'eris Yisrael lo yasu avla, lo yidabru chazav. That's not what we do. Perhaps, because it's not lamaisa for us in the judgment sense, but it might be a middle path here for us to recognize both of these values. Recognize the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the judge. We don't need to work things out in life. I always thought the practical question would be, can you go file an insurance claim and ask for more than you think you know, because insurance always gives less than you ask for. So you want to get the number you really want, but you have to ask for more so that you get for less. Does that mean it's mutter? That means that...
It's just with traffic tickets. You can dispute it online, and they automatically ask you to settle it for 25% less.
Uh-huh. Some would argue. I'll just conclude that the Torah calls judges Elohim. Elohim, I guess I should say. To some extent, the Torah wants us to play God. It wants the judges to carry out justice. But also, ultimately, it's not for us to forget that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately, as the Aruch Chaim says, the one who runs the world. Each of us has moments in our lives where we have to make a judgment call for ourselves, for our businesses, for what we do. It's a balance of doing the right ishtadlus to bring about what we think is emes and fair. But at the end of the day, ultimately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the judge and runs the world.
Oh, yeah.